emaciated, bony figure of the Wendigo makes it appear weak in nature, but its withered skin pulled tight over its bones and its complexion the ash gray of death, its eyes pushed back deep into their sockets. The Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton that just climbed out of the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody. Its body, dirty, torn, oozing infectious wounds, accompanied by a foul odor of decay and decomposition, the smell of death. Welcome back, guys. Thanks for joining me again. If you have never heard of this mythical creature, or maybe not so mythical creature, we are talking about the Wendigo. Let me tell you, I would hate to run into this guy. Creepy as shit right here, the Wendigo. As the tale goes, the Wendigo was once a lost hunter. During a brutally cold winter, this man's intense hunger drove him to cannibalism. After feasting on another human's flesh, he transformed into a crazed man-beast, roaming the forest in search of more people to eat. Most Wendigo stories begin with an individual or small group trapped in the wilderness without food for an extended period, alone in the cold. Wendigos were said to kill lonely travelers or a member of a group and then take on their personality temporarily before eventually killing other humans it encountered. The story of Wendigo comes from Algonquin Native American folklore, and the exact details vary depending on who you ask. Some people who have claimed to have encountered the beast say it's a relative of Bigfoot, but others report that the Wendigo is more of a werewolf. According to other legends, the Wendigo has pointed or animal-like ears with antlers or horns sprouting on its head. A Wendigo's eyes have been described as sunken or glowing like hot coals, sharp and pointy teeth, extremely bad breath, and body odor are also often traits of a Wendigo. Or maybe some of your ex-boyfriends. Some of mine, anyway. So let's talk a little bit more about this creepy creature. According to legend, it's nearly impossible to escape a Wendigo. Hunters by nature, Wendigos are extremely fast and allow nothing to get in the way of their never-ending hunger. Even if you could escape physical damage, which is unlikely, the very fact that you'd encountered an otherworldly Wendigo would leave you mentally vacant. Wendigos hibernate for months or even years. But when they awake, you better watch out. Wendigos can stealthily stalk victims for extended periods of time, and they have supernatural speed, endurance, and heightened senses such as hearing, so profound they can pick up on panicked heartbeats from miles away. This skill comes in quite handy in the woods. Once the chase begins, Wendigos engage in a torturous game. They bait their prey, release shrieks or growls, and sometimes mimic human voices calling for help. When the hunt begins, the Wendigo becomes all business It will race after its prey, climbing, scaling trees and rocks, creating animal stampedes, and stirring up ice storms or tornadoes. Don't be fooled. You're not safe indoors either. The Wendigo can unlock doors and enter homes, where it will kill and eat everyone inside. If you can't outrun it, can you outgun it? Not easily. A wounded Wendigo simply regenerates. The trick is, make sure you have silver bullets or a pure silver blade or stake, and strike right through the Wendigo's ice-cold heart. Also, it is believed a silver-covered steel blade can work if you're in a pinch. Once you've wounded the Wendigo's heart, you must take care to shatter it into pieces. Then lock the shattered heart in a silver box and bury it in a church cemetery. Not one to seek a simple end, the rest of the Wendigo must be dismembered with a silver-plated axe so you can burn it, and then scatter its ashes into the wind. You can also bury the pieces in a remote location. If you skip a step and the Wendigo is able to resurrect, it will hunt you down and inflict a slow, agonizing death. What do you think of that, guys? Are you scared yet? The Wendigo is believed to be the spirit of winter and a symbol of the dangers of selfishness. There is variations of the beliefs when it comes to the Wendigo, but it is agreed upon that it is a creature with a taste for human flesh. If you run across a Wendigo, you're running the risk of being devoured or possibly turned into one. One usually becomes a Wendigo as punishment for dishonorable or taboo activities, such as engaging in cannibalism due to starvation. According to Sean Smallman, who is the author of Dangerous Spirits, The Wendigo in Myths and History, it was a means of defining moral social behavior, which could serve as a warning against greed and selfishness. One could also become a Wendigo if a shaman cursed them, or if they dreamed of a Wendigo. The myth was also used to explain mental illness or other serious afflictions. This creature may appear as a monster with some characteristics of a human, or as a spirit who has possessed a human being and made them become monstrous. It's historically associated with cannibalism, murder, insatiable greed, and the culture taboos against such behavior. It's known by several names. Wendigo, Widigo, Widico, and Weetigo. Each of them roughly translates to the evil spirit that devours mankind. This creature has long been known among the Algonquin, Ojibwe, Eastern Cree, Salto, West Main, Swamp Cree, Naskapi, and Innu people. I'm sure I butchered many of those names. I'm sorry. I was just giving it a go. They were described as giants, many times larger than human beings. Although descriptions can vary somewhat, one commonality in all these cultures is that it is malevolent, cannibalistic, supernatural, and it is strong, and it has to do with coldness, starvation, winter, the north, So since the Wendigo is said to be a cold weather creature, most of its sightings are reported in Canada and in the northern states of the United States, like Minnesota. At the turn of the 20th century, the Algonquin tribes blamed many unsolved disappearances of people on the Wendigo, believing that the Wendigo was attacking them. That must be the solution for all the missing people. Different versions of the Wendigo legend say different things about his speed and agility. Some claim he is unusually fast and can endure walking for long periods of time, even in harsh winter conditions. Others say he walks in a more haggard manner, as if he's falling apart. And unlike other terrifying carnivores, the Wendigo doesn't rely on pursuing his prey in order to capture and eat it. Rather, one of his creepiest traits is his ability to mimic human voices. He uses this skill to lure people in and draw them away from civilization. Once they're isolated in the desolate depths of the wilderness, he attacks them and feasts on them. Whether you believe the Wendigo lurks in the woods at night or not, this is not just another boogeyman story meant to scare people for no reason. It also has historical significance for many indigenous communities. Again, symbolizing real-life problems like greed and selfishness and violence. But ironically enough, these stories might actually represent the indigenous people's response to the horrific violence unleashed on them by non-native people. In fact, many anthropologists believe that the concept of the Wendigo only was developed after the native people had contact with the Europeans. The Algonquin legend describes the creature as a giant with a heart of ice. Sometimes it is thought to be entirely made of ice, its body skeletal and deformed, with missing lips and toes. The Algonquin people say that during the turn of the 20th century, a large number of their people went missing. The tribes attributed many of these mysterious disappearances to the Wendigo, thus calling him the spirit of lonely places. The following I'm going to read is an adaptation of the original Algonquin myth of the Wendigo. Here it goes. The storm lasted so long that they thought they would starve. Finally, when the wind and swirling snow had died away to just a memory, the father, who was a brave warrior, ventured outside. The next storm was already on the horizon, but if food was not found soon, the family would starve. Keeping his knife and spear close, he ventured out upon the most frequently used game trail, watching intently for some sign. If the newly fallen snow, of an animal footprint, of movement of any kind. The forest lay deep and oddly silent under its gleaming coating of ice and snow. Every creature of sense lay deep within its burrow and sleep. Still, the warrior hunted, knowing how desperate his family had become. As he moved through the eerie stillness, broken only by the soft caress of the wind, he heard a strange hissing noise. It came from everywhere and nowhere at once. The warrior stopped, his heart pounding. That is when he saw the blood-soaked footprints appearing on the path in front of him. He gripped his knife tightly, knowing that somewhere watching him was a Wendigo. He had learned about the Wendigo at his father's knees. It was a large creature, as tall as a tree, with a lipless mouth and jagged teeth. Its breath was a strange hiss, its footprints full of blood, and it ate any man, woman, or child who ventured into its territory. And those were the lucky ones. Sometimes the Wendigo chose to possess a person instead. Then the luckless individual became a Wendigo himself, hunting down those he had once loved and feasting upon their flesh. The warrior knew he would have just one chance to prevail over the Wendigo. After that, he would die. Or, the thought was too terrible to comprehend. Slowly, he backed away from the bloody footprints, listening to the hissing sound. Was it stronger in one direction? He gripped his spear in one hand, knife in the other. Then the snowbank to his left erupted as a creature as tall as a tree leapt out at him. He drove to one side, rolling into the snow so that his clothing was covered, and he became hard to see in the gray twilight of the approaching storm. The Wendigo whirled its massive frame, and the warrior threw the spear. It struck the creature's chest, but the Wendigo just shook it off as if it were a toy. The warrior crouched behind a small tree as the creature searched the torn-up snow for a trace of him. Perhaps one more chance. The Wendigo loomed over his hiding place, its sharp eyes seeing the outline of him against the tree. It bent down, long arms reaching. The warrior leapt forward as if to embrace the creature and thrust his knife into its fathomless black eye. The Wendigo howled in pain as the blade of the knife sliced into its brain cavity. It tried to pull himself off its chest, but the warrior clung to the creature, stabbing it again and again in the eyes and the head. The Wendigo collapsed to the ground, bleeding profusely, almost crushing the warrior beneath its bulk. He pulled himself loose and stared at the creature, which blended in with its white surroundings so well that he would not have seen it if it wasn't for the blood pouring from its eyes and ears and scalp. Then the outline of the creature grew misty, and it vanished, leaving only a pool of blood to indicate where it had fallen. Shaken, the warrior, heart pounding with fear and fatigue, turned for home. He was weakened by lack of food, but knew that the storm would break soon and he would die if he did not seek shelter. At the edge of the wood, he found himself face to face with a red fox. It was a fat old creature, its muzzle lined with gray. The creature stood still, as if it had been brought to him as a reward for killing the Wendigo. With a prayer of thanksgiving, the warrior killed the fox and took it home to his starving family. This meat lasted many days, until the final storm had blown itself out and the warrior could safely hunt once more. According to the legends, a Wendigo is created whenever a human resorts to cannibalism to survive. In the past, this occurred more often when Indians and settlers found themselves stranded in the bitter snows and ice of the North Woods. Sometimes stranded for days, any survivors might have felt compelled to cannibalize the dead in order to survive. Other versions of the legend cite that humans who displayed extreme greed, gluttony, and excess might also be possessed by a Wendigo. Thus, the myth served as a method of encouraging cooperation and moderation. Native American versions of the creature spoke of a gigantic spirit over 15 feet tall that had once been human but had been transformed into a creature by the use of magic. Though all the descriptions of the creature vary slightly, the Wendigo is generally said to have glowing eyes, long yellow fangs, terrible claws, and overly long tongues. Sometimes they are described as having sallow, yellowish skin, and other times depicted to be covered with matted hair. The creature is said to have had a number of skills and powers, including stealth, being a near-perfect hunter, and it knows and uses every inch of its territory and can control the weather through the use of dark magic. They are also portrayed as being gluttonous and emaciated from starvation at the same time. Wendigos are said to be cursed to wander the land eternally seeking to fulfill their voracious appetite for human flesh. And if there is nothing left to eat, it starves to death. The legend also gives name to a modern medical term called Wendigo psychosis, which is considered by some psychiatrists to be a syndrome that creates an intense craving for human flesh and a fear of becoming a cannibal. Ironically, this psychosis is said to occur within people living around the Great Lakes of Canada and the United States. Wendigo psychosis usually develops in the winter in individuals who are isolated by heavy snow for long periods of time. The initial symptoms are poor appetite, nausea, and vomiting. The individual develops a delusion of being transformed into a Wendigo monster. People who have Wendigo psychosis increasingly see others around them as being edible. At the same time, they have exaggerated fear of becoming a cannibal. I'm sorry, guys, I just got to stop there for 1 second. And doesn't Jeffrey Dahmer come to mind when I'm describing this? He sees people around him as being edible. I mean, come on. Okay, anyways, moving on. The most common response when a person showed signs of Wendigo psychosis was a curing attempt by a traditional native healer. In cases of the past, if these attempts failed, and if the possessed person began either to threaten those around them or to act violently or antisocially, they were executed. There's been reports regarding this psychosis dating back hundreds of years. For just over 40 years, in the 1960s, a group of French missionaries of the Jesuit order traveled through New France, a wide area of North America that is now comprised of Montreal, Quebec, and regions of the United States that were acquired during the Louisiana Purchase. So on this mission, the men interacted with the Native American people, hoping to spread their Catholic faith. They published stories of their encounters in a book called, got this French name that I'm not going to attempt to butcher, but it is also called The Jesuit Relations. In 1661, one of the documents of that stated, "What caused us greater concern was the intelligence that met us upon entering the lake, namely, that the men that were to await our coming had met their death the previous winter in a very strange manner. These poor men, according to the report given us, were seized with an ailment unknown, but not very unusual among the people that we were seeking. They are afflicted with neither lunacy, hypochondria, nor frenzy, but have a combination of all these species of disease." I apologize, I didn't mean to make noise and giggle right there. My husband just snuck in the studio to bring me another drink. Just FYI, I'm having a few cocktails during the recording of this session. Just because. Anyways. Hopefully it's not making it worse. But, you know, being a good hubby that he is, he just brought me another drink. He must have read my mind. Anyways, going on, let's continue. So, they were not afflicted with hypochondria, frenzy, but a combination of all these, which affects their imagination and causes them a more than canine hunger. This makes them so ravenous for human flesh that they pounce upon women, children, and even upon men, like veritable werewolves, and devour them without being able to appease their appetites. Even seeking fresh prey, and the more greedily, the more they eat. This ailment attacks our deputies and My husband's also watching a hockey game in the other room. They probably just scored because he just hollered, and you might have heard that too. Anyways, this ailment attacked our deputies, and as death is the sole remedy among those simple people for checking such acts of murder, they were slain in order to stay the course of their madness. Wow, that story really got derailed. I'm really sorry with the interruptions, because now I've got a bulldog at the door scratching to get in. Let's just move along. So that story didn't, that little snip of the story didn't go very well. But anyways, let's just keep going here, because this is supposed to be scary and creepy, and it just got derailed. Okay, moving on. Another documented case occurred in 1878 when a Plains Cree trapper from Alberta named Swift Runner suffered one of the worst cases known. This is the most popular case that you're when you're looking into this. Swift Runner was a trader with the Hudson Bay Company who was married and the father of six children. In 1875, he served as a guide for the Northwest Mounted Police. During the winter of 1878 to 1879, Swift Runner and his family were starving, along with numerous other Cree families. His eldest son was the first to die of starvation, and at some point, Swift Runner succumbed to Wendigo psychosis. Though emergency food supplies were available at Hudson Bay Company, a post about 25 miles away, he didn't even try to get there. Instead, he killed the remaining members of his family and consumed them. He eventually confessed and was executed by authorities at Fort Saskatchewan. Frighteningly enough, there were quite a few other stories about these spirits supposedly possessing people in communities stretching from northern Quebec to the Rockies. Many of these reports were similar to this case of Swift Runner. Wendigo allegedly made a number of appearances near a town called Rossesu, whatever that spells. In northern Minnesota from the late 1800s through 1920s. Each time that it was reported, an unexpected death followed, and finally, it was seen no more. Another well-known case involving Wendigo psychosis was that of Jack Fiddler. And he was a chief and medicine man known for his powers at defeating Wendigos. Fiddler claimed to have defeated 14 Wendigos during his lifetime. Some of these creatures were said to have been sent by enemy shamans, and others were members of his own band who would have been taken with the insatiable and incurable desire to eat human flesh. In the latter case, Fiddler was usually asked by family members to kill a very sick loved one before they turned Wendigo. Fiddler's own brother, Peter Flett, was killed after turning Wendigo when the food ran out on a trading expedition. Hudson's Bay Company traders, the Cree, and missionaries were all well aware of the Wendigo legend, though they often explained it as a mental illness or superstition. Regardless, several incidents of people turning Wendigo and eating human flesh are documented in the records of the company. In 1907, Fiddler and his brother Joseph were arrested by the Canadian authorities for murder. Jack committed suicide, but Joseph was tried and sentenced to life in prison. He ultimately was granted a pardon, but died 3 days later in jail just before receiving the news of this pardon. In some tribes, a ceremonial dance is sometimes performed during times of famine to reinforce the seriousness of the Wendigo taboo. The frequency of Wendigo psychosis cases decreased in the 20th century as the Native Americans came into greater and greater contact with the Western ideologies. The vast majority of supposed Wendigo sightings happened between the 1800s and up to 1920. It's when the most sightings happened. But every so often, an alleged sighting emerges. Most recently, in 2019, mysterious howls in the Canadian wilderness led some to question whether they were caused by the infamous man-beast. One hiker who was present said, "I've heard many different animals in the wild, but nothing like this." These Wendigo creature sightings seem to be mostly in northern Ontario, near the cave of the Wendigo. I keep wanting to say dingo, like maybe a dingo ate your baby, that kind of thing. I keep wanting to say dingo. Sorry, Wendigo. Also around the town of Kenora, where it has allegedly been spotted by traders, trackers, and trappers for decades. There are many who still believe that the Wendigo roams the woods and the prairies of northern Minnesota and Canada. Kenora, Ontario, Canada has all been given the title of Wendigo Capital of the World by many. But those who believe in the physical Wendigo think he might still be out there in the woods, and underneath that terrifying flesh-eating demon, there might still be a human man who was once just a hungry hunter. If you look online, there's things on YouTube. There's some actual video of sounds. Check it out. Go online and look at some of these. Listen to some of these. Of people claiming that the Wendigo has been in the woods, that they've had sightings, they've heard things. There's a lot of stories out there. Again, just like with anything else that we talk about, any of these mythical creatures, there's absolutely no proof. Maybe he's related to Bigfoot. Maybe they hang out. Who knows? There's no definite proof on these guys. I love all that Native American folklore stuff. It's so cool, so interesting. I don't know. It always comes from somewhere. So over the years, things change. Stories get told. Who knows what it actually started with after these stories developed over the years. But it's crazy and it's scary as fuck, people. Imagine this. I'm going to post some pictures. This thing is scary as shit. Big ass antlers on top of its head. It's all like skeletal and creepy looking. If I'm out hiking, like there was one case they said that someone came across one near Pikes Peak, which is in Colorado, which is where I am originally from and where my family lives and where my son lives. And my son, being the badass that he is, he climbs 14ers. If you're not from Colorado, you don't know what that means. That's confusing, but a 14er is a mountain that's over 14,000 feet. So my son hikes these 14ers. And the first thing I thought of when I was doing this research and I came across somebody who said that they encountered one in Pikes Peak region was, well, shit. I hope my son has a silver knife with him or a silver bullet. I better warn him to keep some protection with him because who knows? He might run across one of these motherfuckers. So I guess the moral of the story is be careful when you're out there camping and hiking out in the wilderness, people. Wendigos, they sound like really scary creatures. So be careful. Anyways, whether you believe it or not, it was a fun story, right? Just creepy. Haven't done a mythical creature yet on the show, so thought I'd give that one a whirl. I hope you liked it. Anyways, thanks for joining me again. My name is Michelle, your host. So glad to have you guys here. Just shout outs to my fans. I know I've got some up in Canada. Thanks for listening. So this one was for you, all you Canadians. Stay safe up there. My other fans, Hong Kong in Australia, and of course here in the United States. Thanks for listening, guys. I am going to be posting some pictures of this crazy motherfucker, so check him out because he is scary. And I am going to get out of here. I'm going to go finish my cocktail and go finish watching the hockey game with the hubby. And until 2 weeks from now, I've got family in town next weekend, so I will be back in 2 weeks. And until then, stay dark, my friends.